So who was above you?
Emma.
Okay.
Arvel was the baby, and I was next.
How old was she when she had Arvel?
Mother was about, had to have been about 43, I'd say. Okay. 42 or 43.
Mm-hmm. Did you and Arvel butt heads a lot?
We argued quite a bit. And,
mm-hmm.
And of course, I was bigger than him, and I was sort of a little bossy with it. And I liked the work, because they bragged on me.
Yeah.
And Arvel didn't like the work. He'd rather goof off. And they'd send me and him, like, to the barn to shuck some corn or,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know. And he'd get to just goofing off with it. Well, I know it had to be done, and I was the one that they would question about it if it didn't get done, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and then if I got sore after him, then he'd take off running and head toward the house, and then they wouldn't make him come back. I mean, you know, they seemed with a fuss. I'd get to do the work. But that's kids for you.
Mm-hmm.
We was actually close, you know.
I don't know. He told me you was mean.
Well, I done some pretty mean things sometimes. I stuck him one time with a pitchfork.
Where'd you stick him at?
In the leg.
Did he have to get stitches, or?
Huh?
Did he have to get stitches, or did
no, he? No, we didn't tell none of them until, I don't think he told Mother and them. But I just punched him with it, you know. We was hauling hay.
Mm-hmm.
And putting it in the tobacco barn with Arvel's boy now, Jamie. He's redone that barn there now, what it used to look like, you know. But wintertime, after we got our tobacco handed off and stuff, then we'd lot off stalls in it, and we could put cattle in there, you know. And across those joists that went across to hang their tobacco on, you had to have them about 3.5 feet apart, you know. We'd lay boards over them, and then we could put hay and stuff like that up above the cattle, you know. But anyway, I was throwing the hay up to him with one fork from my truck, and throwing it up to him, and then he's supposed to pull it back, you know, so it wouldn't pile up on the front there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just goofing off up there, and I kept trying to get him to pull it back. It was a lot easier for him to pull back a little ways than it was for me to throw it up there, you know.
Right.
And but he'd let it pile up. Want me to come up there and help him do it, you know, like it. But anyway, I told him several times. Finally I got mad and I punched him out of the fork. That brought him plumb out of there.
Yeah.
I got to put the rest of it up myself. But I'd rather done that is go like we was going.
Yeah.
You know? I'd try to justify it.
Were you closer to any of your, like, your uncles or aunts or any of them?
Close to them?
Yeah.
None of them live real close to us.
Right.
We liked all of them. They all seemed like it really tickled them when we'd come to see them, you know. Or,
mm-hmm. Oh, I've been reading some in, like, her brother's journals, John, and he mentions you a few times, so I didn't know if y'all were pretty close or not.
Me and John was real close.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my grandmother used to live right over from him, you know. Mm-hmm. She had her own little house. Her and Grandpa lived there when I was a kid. And when I was getting married there, he told me if I wanted to put me a little house up there, or, you know, we could use the old one that was already there, but he figured we would want, if we raised a family, we'd need a bigger house. Mm-hmm. But he'd give me that.
Oh.
If I'd just move there, you know. And I didn't take him up on it, you know, because I want to stay closer to Mother than him.
Right.
I know she just needed some help, you know. But I'd go get Grandma sometimes and take her to church.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't drive neither?
No. No, my mama didn't drive, and her mother didn't drive. Oh, back when they had horses back when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And well, when Mother and Daddy got married, that's what they had, horses. They didn't have no. Daddy might have had that was probably about the time he started buying some log trucks and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got out here at Bricetown. He cut the timber off that mountain over yonder at Wells Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked at Grover and Amos Moss, which you never know the needle of them, but Grover was a good preacher, and he's a real good praying man.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother went to church all the time. I didn't think as much of him as I did Grover, but they were just young men. For some reason now they didn't have to go to the war.
Mm-hmm.
He was old enough to win. But my daddy had to sign up. And then with all them kids that time.
For World War II?
World War II.
Or would it have been World War I?
No, World War II.
Okay. Huh. But he didn't have to go?
He was too young in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. I don't know what the deal was in that. But World War II was getting on down there.
Mm-hmm.
Where they was taking them about all ages.
Really?
In fact, Oliver, my oldest half-brother there, he had 7 or 8 kids at that time.
And he had to go?
And, well, he was scheduled to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And the war ended the day before he had to go.
Wow. Didn't Rob go, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rob was in it the longest and the worst part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rob and Frank and Bert all was in the... Bert was... It was already pretty well over when Bert went in.
Mm-hmm.
But he helped clean up and stuff like that. But Frank, he was still fighting, and he had a dream when he was 17 that if he went in, the war would end.
Mm.
And they'd really been worried about Rob, you know, because Rob got just almost killed a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
One time his division left for dead. But, what'd that say?
I don't know. Mama hung it up, I think.
This is... Yeah, she's hung it on.
his division left him?
They were just picking the ones up mm-hmm. that they thought they could help. And he was leading 9 other men, there's 10 of them all together, with a bunch of ammunition into these people that had been pinned down and couldn't get out to get no ammunition, and they were running out.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, they was taking them shells and guns to fight with, keep a fighting, you know. And one of them big shells hit right in the middle of them. And it killed the 8, right at the time, sudden. And it blowed Rob's clothes off and of him, and he was unconscious. And, of course, he was leading the men. And then his friend or buddy that he had, it blowed some of his skull off, but it didn't kill him. But mm-hmm. he didn't have no mind after that. But he was still alive when he was getting on up several years old.
Yeah.
They mended his head, but they couldn't give him back his mind, you know. But them 2 out of the 10 is all that survived, that shell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, his division, when they went on through and won that part there, they moved on. And now the division coming through, cleaning up and this and that. And they ended up picking Rob up and took him in the hospital. And I don't know how many days it took before he come back with any mind or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But the Army people sent Mother and Dad out a notice that he was missing in action.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know if he was dead or alive, you know. And Mother was about to go crazy. It was really strenuous on her. And anyway, she took off one morning there and went up on the mountain and got down and got to praying. And they thought she was going to crack up, you know, it's much strain on her. And all of a sudden she cut loose shouting.
Mm-hmm.
And Bert was telling me the last time I got to see Bert when he come in here at last time. And he said, I just knowed she'd cracked up, you know. And said she come off the hill. She said, Rob ain't dead. Said, I seen him. Said, he's alive. Said, he's injured bad, but he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 2 of them. They sent him back out to town, but he'd been found. He was in the hospital. But Mother had a lot of, she got a lot of answers to prayer.
Yeah.
She had a lot of faith. Daddy had a lot of faith. He was a deacon.
He's a deacon?
He straightened up. It wasn't long after him Mother got married until he straightened his life up.
Was he a deacon at Little Brasstown?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't active down there because he's I was about 10 years old when we
mm-hmm.
went down there. We went to Maggie's Chapel. See, we could walk there.
Was he a deacon there too when he was there? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
His word, well, back then, when a man gave his word, that was really something. You didn't question their word. Daddy'd put your lights out and try to question his word.
Right.
You know?
Was he pretty tough?
Yeah. Yeah, he never had a boy ever come up nowhere close to him, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Hemp was probably the toughest one of the boys. And, you know, was in more fights and stuff like that, and the drinking. And,
mm-hmm. Did you never fight much?
Hemp.
Or did you never fight much?
No, now when I was real little, I did.
Right.
At school and stuff with kids. And the bigger ones, but they like to see a little boy to fight, mm-hmm. you know, and then I get on. And then I'd hear the older ones talking about it. I believe he was in the 7th grade. In fact, one of Gene's boys, he was a year, a little over a year younger than me. But me and him got into it, and I hauled back with my fist and hit him right between the eyes. And I knocked that top off of my little fist.
Mm-hmm.
And it landed right back here. And you can't tell it really now unless you know it's, you know. But my job was at the house service that time was to milk the cows. Well, we had two cows to milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to milk left-handed.
You didn't tell no one about that?
Didn't tell mother and them a thing about that. Mm-hmm. And I went around most of the time with my right hand in my pocket there for over 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I learned how to milk left-handed then.
Did you have a lot of nieces and nephews who were like around your age? From your older brothers and stuff? Were there kids around your age?
Yeah, Gene, he had two kids older than me.
Oh, okay.
Now me and his oldest, and we was a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one called Oscar, he was sort of hard to get along with anyway. And,
you didn't like him too much?
No, not when we was growing up.
Right.
You know, but now Bobby, his oldest boy, he really liked to work, and he was just a real likable person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Gene, he caused a lot of their problem, too. He bought them boxing gloves. Well, when it's 2 year older, naturally, he's got a big advantage in children.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now Gene, he wasn't as brave as most of my other brothers was, you know. He was big,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't like fighting.
Yeah.
He was a little bit scared in it.
Did your mom, and did she just not like fighting? Is that the reason you didn't?
No, I don't think, no mother would. She'd fight a bull, I think, if it was necessary.
Yeah.
When Daddy got stabbed out there at that Christmas program that time, that's when they got through with it.
Mm-hmm.
They were walking back towards their house. And anyway, Mama told Daddy, she said, Mr. Cook, we ought to go back there and just clean the rest of that bunch on out or something. And he told her, he said, Bailey, he said, I can't. He said, my shoe's full of mud. He hadn't even told her he'd been stabbed till this.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good ways from the church. And, you know, that school and the church is the same building.
Mm-hmm.
But she was pretty bull-headed like that. Now she'd...
Was that down in Hanging Dog's
place? Yeah.
Okay. Were you alive when that happened? Or
no, okay. No, that's years before I was born. Mm-hmm. No, they'd moved up here before the war, she was...
Okay.
Well, I was born in 45 and the war ended in 45.
Yeah. So how would you describe your relationship with your mama?
We was extremely close.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of times, see, and then most of my brothers and sisters had done, well, they'd gone off to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gene, he stayed a while here, and he tried to make a go of it here, but he had 10 kids when he, well, he had 9, I guess, when he left here
mm-hmm.
that last time. There's one of them born out there then. And Rob moved back from Oregon in 53. And, of course, he got him a sawmill going, you know, and he kept that. If he, and most time he was running, you know, having people to work for him run that sawmill. And, but then part of the time he'd just have straight logging jobs, hauling the logs and this and that. And he'd just park his sawmill, you know. And there's a couple of years there he left and went to Colorado to work. Him and Gene went out there to, Gene took a sawmill, took some sawmills out there. And they worked out there in the summertime, but the winter they had to close it down, snow and stuff. There's only two till Orville built over there, right up on the hill over there from Mama's. And this used to be one place for Mother and them bought that over there, and, and Gene bought this over here, and they divided it off, you know.
So how many were in the house whenever you were growing up?
Most of the time, there's about 7.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not when I started school, there's 7 or 8 of us there, but there's 6 or probably 6 in school.
Mm-hmm. Did you pray a lot with your mama?
Yeah. A lot of times if she got really burdened over something or other and was having trouble praying through, she'd call me at, you know, especially after opening the store down there.
Mm-hmm.
She could call me there and tell me to kind of be sure to come by. She needed me to help her pray. And I went, you know, pretty regular anyway to see her. And then when I got really burdened over something and needed some help, I'd run by to see her, you know.
Right.
You could always count on her to get down there if you pray.
What made you decide to open the store?
I just got to wanting to do something on my own instead of working for some of my brothers, you know.
Right.
I was working for Bill and his wife there. And I just got the desire to want to do something on my own, you know.
Yeah.
Be my own boss.
Yeah.
But now Bill was a good person, easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him, we was always close with his kids. I was almost 5 years younger than him. But we worked a lot together there on the place. He'd have to do the main heavy stuff, but I'd go with him to watch him in the woods when he was cutting wood, and carry the gas cans and so forth, you know.
Right.
And I most of the time I really overworked myself trying to, you know, I enjoyed that hearing them brag on me. And that, I'd say that's a lot of the problem with my back today.
Yeah.
I done it when I was a kid. I tried to do as much. I couldn't do as much as a grown up, but I'd sure try to stay up with them, you know.
Do you remember much about, like, your mama's, like, last few, like, years, I guess? Like, did she start slowing down any, or as far as working-wise and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had to She had to slow down. In the last 5 years, it just got worse and worse until we lost her.
What, did she get sick of something or did something?
Well, she was in her 80s, see. And she was, well, she's 87 when she died. Your body starts, you know, wearing out.
Yeah.
And she'd always been a hard worker. It was unreal how much muscle she had in her legs and arms. She could pick 200 pounds up and take up two plowed dirt with it.
Really? Well, what kind of, so she did work on the farm and stuff like that. What other kinds of things did she do?
Well, she'd make things like a vanite, you know, like crocheting, and she'd do that for a while, and then she'd switch over to something else. She's always looking for some way to make a little money.
Right. And, so she sold stuff she made? So she sells stuff she made?
She'd sell a lot of it, and then she'd give a lot of it away. She always wanted to give preachers a quilt. And,
yeah, Hoyt still's got his.
And, well, if she liked a preacher at all, she'd make him a quilt. Well, her daddy was one. He was, there's several of his brothers. He was from a big family. And there's several of them preachers. I don't know, there's four, maybe five of them that turned out to be preachers in that family. Davises. But Grandpa had the best name of any of them, for being the best preacher and the strictest with the scripture and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was a preacher, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was her brother. And the other, see, he was sort of an outlaw.
Interesting.
Uncle Frank. He was her baby brother. And, he raised a family, but his father-in-law, every time him and his wife would get into it a little bit, he'd move her back to his house.
Oh.
He didn't want her leaving home and going away from Andrews up here where they live. And he caused a lot of their problems, you know. But anyway, they ended up, separating. I forget how many kids they had. Seemed like a 7 or 8 or something like that.
So big families were like a more normal?
Yeah. And I can remember when they separated. I'm just a small kid, you know. But he'd take off. He worked a lot up in, like in Washington, D.C. and places like that. He was most time the superintendent over a building being built or something, you know, or pouring concrete. He specialized in concrete and stuff. He made big money, but he had to be away from here, see, to do it.
Yeah.
And he drank and he tomcat around. He never did get where he didn't like the women, the folks, besides his wife. Well, now when I was a pretty good sized kid, he straightened up though. And after that, I never known of him going astray anymore. You know, he got into church and tried to live a Christian life. But when the mother and Aunt Jessie and Aunt Myrtle, when they get together, they get told about the kids. And if one was trying to live a Christian life, they'd say that just like John. He's just like John.
Yeah.
And if he's a little bit on the wild side, they'd say that just like Frank. That just like Frank.
Did they say you were?
Well, most of them compared me with John.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I really wasn't very wild before I got saved. that I was almost 18 there when I got saved, like 2 months being 18.
When did you and Mamaw meet?
We met at the plant down there, mm-hmm. where Peachtree. Well, we met in 64, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So how old would you have been?
Well, I was 20 when we got married, so I've been 19.
Where'd y'all have your wedding at?
Bracetown. I was a member of our Bracetown at that time. Uh-huh.
Did Granny Bell come to that, or your mama?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mama really worried about it to start with. But now she done quite a bit praying with me over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
How was she worried?
Well, see, Mom was a tailor.
Mm-hmm.
And Mon and Em had separated.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Taylor family had a pretty rough day.
Okay.
But see, now her daddy left home. He was just 13 years old when he left home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the best tailor I ever known of.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's several of the family, though, good people, you know. And,
right.
And honest. But, where you get a few bad ones in the crowd, and
mm-hmm.
and they stress out more their names than what the others can do to straighten it up on.
Right.
But anyway, Mon's family was a pretty rough family. I always really liked Mon. She was always good to me.
Mm-hmm.
A man's help, he's, I felt like Em was helped more accountable on kind of his own ways,
mm-hmm.
devil's ways than he was. He could have had things different if he'd stayed close to the Lord, but he didn't. But anyway, that their family's about all Mommy knowed.
Mm-hmm.
Her daddy wouldn't take his family around his brothers and them, most of them. Now, he'd go see them, but he wouldn't take his family around.
So y'all met at the same plant?
Huh?
Y'all met at the same plant?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, she went to her high school down in Florida. Now, they lived over here at Peachtree till, I believe she went her eighth grade over at Peachtree. And then
mm-hmm.
and her high school was all down in Florida. And her older two sisters, Reet and Darlene, was both living up here. Darlene had married up here.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her husband was together when me and Hazel got married. Reet, she was separated at that time, but she was working down there at that plant too. And so, They'd come up and stand with her,
mm-hmm.
and working out there at the same plant.
So how'd y'all date back then? Like, what'd y'all do on dates and stuff?
Well, we went sometimes to church, you know, mm-hmm. just depending on what all's going on, or and we'd go to the drive-in sometimes. Down there at Peachtree, they had you could drive in there. It was a drive-in theater then.
Mm-hmm.
Just different things like that, you know. Or we never went to no wall parties and
right.
like that, you know. I was trying to live right. And,
well, me
and,
either, Papa. Me
and I thought she was, you know, she lived like a Christian, mm-hmm. you know. And I thought she was saved. Which it's supposed to be, I think, on back when she was a kid. But she actually got saved down here at the old house.
Really?
After we got married. Had 2 or 3 kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I come in one night from visiting with Hoyt and Wilson Phillips, and she was laying there still awake in her bed. She said, honey, said, the Lord saved me here tonight. And now that, actually, when I got burdened then about something or other, me and her could get down.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, and I couldn't figure it out, before that, if I really got burdened, I'd run to Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And get her to help me pray. And I was pretty stubborn, you know, sometimes. I blamed the man of being the man of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to be no hen-pecked husband. And, but, of course, now Mother believes in that.
Mm-hmm.
That the man's supposed to be the man of his house.
Does she pretty much listen to what Mr. Cook said and stuff? Or?
Yeah. I mean, she read the Bible a lot, you know. She believed he was obligated to certain things, you know, mm-hmm. and the woman's obligated to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean the man's supposed to beat his wife or,
right.
or something like that, but she did agree to go with me to the church that I went to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Talking about
Mama? Yeah.
Okay.
And, but my mama, she thought the man ought to be the head of his house, but he needed to be good to his wife, mm-hmm. you know.
When did y'all leave Little Brasstown to go to New Martin's Creek, or did you go somewhere else before that?
Well, I left Brasstown and joined out there in Washington, actually.
Okay.
We found a little church up there. So.
Washington State?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ebb and Bill had they lived down there in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
but they got that right-of-way job up there in Washington. And that's when I went to work out there. I went to work for them. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be down, you know, close to sea level. And normally they had mild winters there,
mm-hmm.
and it was counted for a wintertime job. Well, that year they had the biggest snows they had in over 100 years, and after Christmas, I come back down into Oregon, me and her did, because I had a bunch of brothers down there, Bert and Sam, Frank. And, well, Arville done, though Arville was still out there at that time when I worked up in Washington. Bill, I don't know, there's a bunch of us.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went down there to visit him around Christmas because they shut the job down for about a week there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I started back to go back home up there, we got there in Olympia, Washington, and we started seeing skiffs of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And the time we got back home is 22 miles from Olympia there, where we lived over in Shelton, Washington. And the time we got over there, there's 20-some inches of snow on the ground. Power was off.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out there and helped people shovel out to their driveways and this and that, and made a few dollars. And by the time it would get melted down some, it comes more, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I guess it's up for towards the end of January there, and I still hadn't been able to go back to work, and I'd run out of money. Mm-hmm. I was running out, you know. And so Arvo was working down there at a dam, Green Peter Dam in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, I can get you on down there. He said, it won't be much difference in what they're paying you.
Mm-hmm.
Few pennies cheap, their labor was cheaper than what them And Bill was paying me. And said, you'll be able to work, you know, get the time in. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I left Bill and Deb. And I didn't know how much longer it's going to go, you know.
Yeah.
Arvel took me to the Union Hall. One said, the law said, we can't hire nobody right now. I said, we've got over 700 people, around 750, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the waiting list. And Arvel flirted with the old lady. She's an old lady, but he just flirted with her like she's a young teenager or something, you know. And anyway, when we left from talking with her, he said, what do you think? I said, well, it don't sound like it's no good, Arvel. I said, I probably won't get a job by her because that many people on the waiting list. He said, you better keep your dinner bucket packed. He said, you'll go this week sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I don't think so. He said, better keep your dinner bucket packed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they'll be calling you before the week's over. And I believe it ended up Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I was down at Bird's and I got a call from a lady at the Union Hall. If I wanted to go to work, come by there before whatever time it was. To go to work over there. I went by the Union Hall and I believe I paid them $20 or 20 something there. Went on to work.
I reckon his flirt was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Getting to work instead of laying around and not doing nothing. And first paycheck, now we went and we filled our grocery hurry back up in the house.
So when you got back from Oregon and stuff, where'd you go to church at originally?
Well, Fred had done left, see, Bryce down there. Well, Jimmy Hogsy was down.
I know Dad said something about y'all being at Hanging Dog when he was little or something.
We went to Hanging Dog visiting and stuff. Oh, okay. We never even live out there.
Okay. I didn't know if y'all, like, went to church out there or something.
No, I just visited. And I've a Hanging Dog Baptist Church, I've got... my great-grandpa and his wife is buried there, and there are several in our generation, you know, of the family is buried there.
Mm-hmm.
And and then down at Unica Baptist Church, my grandpa, of course, he was dead before I was born. He died around 30, I guess, 1930. Him and his wife buried there. And I've got, you know, other people buried there too, but them was the only two I really know. Well, see, and I've got a half-brother. No, I've got a full brother. Mama's first kid to die. He was buried there in Hanging Dog, and Mama always wanted to go at decoration or sometime around decoration to decorate his grave out there, you know.
Was that, what's his name?
LT.
LT, yeah. Did you go straight from Little Bass down to New Martin's Creek?
No, I went to Notley.
Notley, okay.
What was out there at Notley?
Okay.
Oh, that's where I was at. I know there's something else, and then I got lost off of it.
No, you're good.
Well, my mind does that a whole lot.
No, it's okay.
You know? When I come back from Washington, they'd had a pretty dry pasture or two down there at Brycetown. They didn't stay all that long, but they got burdened to go out there to Notley.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them people, you know, I'd went to school with their kids and stuff, and I knowed a lot of them people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and I probably knowed more of them than I did of our own church down there at Braceton.
Mm-hmm.
When I first come back, I thought I'd go to the Little Glade.
Mm-hmm.
We attended several revivals down there, and I really liked down there. Mm-hmm. But I went down there, and it just, I just couldn't get into the service at all. It just wasn't nothing there for me. And maybe I went a couple of times. I just felt like God wanted me at Nolly.
Mm-hmm.
So we joined out there. And we did get to see quite a few people saved and visiting. And I believe God had men in Hoyt and Wilson Phillips over there. The band together, and part of the time we visited twice a week, and part of the time we just went once.
Were you a deacon out at Notley?
No, I was ordained out there. That's where I was ordained as a deacon at Notley.
Ordained as a deacon. I was like, as a minister? I didn't know he was preaching that lot.
No, there's a few people thought I was a preacher, but.
Yeah.
Like, they had a preacher one time over at Rice City, and we was laying some carpet for him. And when I started to leave that night, he wanted us to have prayer. And he said, I want you, as you go back through that gorge, he said, I believe the Lord will be speaking to you that you're maybe called to preach the gospel.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I said, you know, I've thought about it, but I said, never have felt like God really was calling me to do that. And,
well, were any of your brothers preachers?
No. There's, I believe, six or seven of us deacons.
Yeah.
No preachers. But now, you know, my nephews and stuff, there's several of them that's turned out preachers, you know.
Yeah, I got a few cousins who are preachers. So then when did you leave Notley?
It was around, I ain't for sure, but it's around 80, I'd say, 79 or 80, somewhere along in there.
You just felt called to, or?
Well, we had a little split up there in the Notley Church. We had a preacher to lie in order to get in.
Mm.
He told us he believed different from what he did, you know. And there's a lot of churches splitting at that time or having trouble with the doctrines, you know. Like,
Was there like one issue that was splitting them, or was it like... Were there
new
or a bunch of different issues or something?
Well, this mainly the one was the big thing that would get it started, and then there'd be other things come up, you know.
What was the one thing?
That was on the end of time.
Okay, so like the rapture?
The rapture and stuff like that.
Okay.
And this the preacher that come, me and him had talked, and I told our deacon board, I was already a deacon at that time, and he told me he believed in it, you know, and I told him, I said, well, our church don't, you know. Well, he said, now, Francis, he said, it's like this, he said, I believe it was said, now, I would never get up in the church and preach that. He said, none of us know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but he said, well, I do believe it. But he said, well, when something happened, when the deacon board and him met the next time, something happened, I wasn't there. And he told them, he said, Francis has really misunderstood what I've said, because he said, even me believing it, He said, I would never preach that in the church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there ought to be a lot of confusion in it. And, well, when he come, of course, he didn't preach it himself,
mm-hmm.
but he brought preachers in.
That would preach
that, it? That's all they wanted to do is preach it. Mm-hmm. And one night I was late going, and I don't know what the deal was. Angel and them didn't go, but I went on to church out there. And when I got there, they were singing that song. When I pulled up in the parking lot, they were singing the song that'd be in the rapture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that we didn't sing that song.
Yeah.
At that time. But anyway, he told her. And then there's one of those colored fellers got on and explained it on TV. And his, we had one deacon that actually did believe it, but the deacons had talked to him, and he wouldn't teach it anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
But it ended up this. I know there's two definitely, and maybe it seemed like it was three or four deacons went with that kind of doctor. And but it just got a friction in there that
mm-hmm.
That you couldn't get into the service.
Yeah.
When we left, I really wasn't mad at nobody.
Right.
And I've tried to pray for that church. We got to see so much good there, you know. And
yeah.
One week, it's just like a big revival broke loose. It's,
mm-hmm.
I believe seven saved and three or four renew-ups or rededications, you know. And all of them but one, I think, stuck with it, you know, on down through the years.
Yeah.
As one of the women that she was living in Atlanta, and she was raised out here in Bellevue. But they said she didn't stay in church down there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she had rededicated up here. That's the only one that, as far as I know, that, you know, that didn't stay with it.
Mm-hmm. So who was preaching at Newmarch Creek when you joined down there?
Holwood.
What?
Okay. See, Hoyt left Notley, Gibbs, about the same time he left Notley. And give notice that he was leaving Martin's Creek. He mm-hmm. was Martin Creek's pastor. So Aud went on to Brightstown
mm-hmm.
and ended up Hoyt going to Martin Creek.
Okay.
And then our first one we got after Hoyt left was Buddy Pittman. Mm-hmm. Buddy done a real good job out there when he's at,
mm-hmm.
at Notley. But,
who came after Buddy Pittman? Was it Paul Ray or?
No. Now Paul Ray, we got him at Martin's Creek,
right.
but he came several years later.
Okay.
Hoyt stayed quite a while there at Martin's Creek after we went out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it was probably, he probably left Martin's Creek and somewhere around 79 or 80, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they started building on Fashion.
Right. Granny Bell stayed at Little Brasstown since she died, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 Mom always wanted all of us kids down there.
Right.
But I guess one thing, you know, if we'd all went on down there,
mm-hmm.
you get too many one family in the same church, and it, a lot of people accuse it of that family running the church or something, you know, right. You don't want that. But,
that's where she had her funeral at, though?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about that? What it was like? Like, was there a lot of people there? Or like?
Oh, yeah.
And who all
yeah,
preached they, it, I guess?
There's most flowers are that I ever seen anywhere. I think it's 130-something or 140-something bunches of flowers.
Wow.
Yeah, it covered her grave, Daddy's grave, and there's still plenty of flowers left over, a lot of baskets and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. You remember what preachers were there and stuff?
Let's see, was Mother Dios. Aud was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was the pastor at that time there, her. And, it might have been the, I guess what was the other?
Mm-hmm. Were those her favorites?
Both of them visited her a whole lot. And,
I've heard a lot about her and like Ham Coffee and stuff. Were they close?
But Ham was, I believe Ham died before Mother did.
Okay. Was he one of the ones who baptized you when you got saved?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was Ham and, was it Fred Lunsford?
Fred.
Okay. I got the picture of it, so I was trying to figure out who was who in the picture.
Yeah.
I guess your mama was pretty happy when you got saved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that made the, all of a sudden, now Arvo wasn't trying to live right, but he'd been saved, you know, before. That's the biggest thing with any Christian family or, is that their children and grandchildren stuff will be saved, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember when she started doing the prayer meetings, or was that before you were born, when she did those prayer meetings at her house?
Well, they was having prayer meetings before I was born, but the last 5 years there, they just had them about every Saturday night, you know.
Mm-hmm. So they started being more frequent as she got closer?
Yeah.
Okay.
His mother got where she couldn't go. Or, and any type of gathering that we'd have there, she'd try to get it turned into a meeting before it was over, you know.
Might as well if you're there.
Yeah. I've seen quite a few people save her.
When did y'all start playing Rook and stuff at her house?
We was up there at the house that she lived in when she died. I was 12 year old when we moved up there. We moved up there in 57. And I don't know, we'd been up there probably a year. And Alice brought in some Rook cards, showed them to Daddy, and explained them to him. And he told Mama, he said, "Well, Belle," he said, "you believe in playing that fox and geese?" Said, "This ain't no different than that. Only thing, it's just a paper card." He said, "It ain't like the old regular cards, you know, what they used to gamble with and stuff." Said, "If they play away from here," and said, "they're doing that already." Alice and them had already learned the game, you know, over one of her friends. And, then after we got started playing there, come find out him, he liked to play the Rook.
Yeah.
He wanted to play him wild, though. Now, the Rook wild, that's the only way he'd play. And he wasn't, you know, he liked it a lot better than he was a Rook player. But he played pretty good, too. But that way, when you think it's the biggest pilot you could get at once.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you throw your rook. You know, you didn't have to follow her suit if you play it well. And, but he really loved to play it.
Does she not like regular playing cards?
No, they wouldn't allow them in the house. No, me and Arbel. In fact, I might have already sold that little deck to Arbel. I'd bought one off of a kid in high school. And we was in our bedroom back there playing penny poker. Anyway, we got to playing so much, and we had a Monopoly board. Now, they let us play that Monopoly board. Mm-hmm. Somebody got it for us for Christmas, and we played with it. And we'd spread it out on our bed. And the bedroom was in there where our bathroom ended up being. You know,
okay.
We ended up tearing that bedroom out, making a bathroom there. But anyway, we'd shut the door. And then we get there and get playing cards. And Mommy, she got suspicious. So one night, she eased the door open on us. And there we was playing cards. And she, Lord, Lord, Mr. Cook, look what these kids are doing in here. They're in here playing cards. And anyway, she grabbed her cards. It's in plastic type. And the fireplace was going. It's in the wintertime. Fireplace was going. Anyway, she slung them in that fireplace. And they just floated in the air when she throwed them like that, you know. Some of them landed on top of that back stick. Well, the flame wasn't hitting it. It is hot there, but the flame wasn't hitting them, and they just lay in there. And anyway, she said, "Wow, them things won't even burn." Daddy, he said, "Well, Belle," said, "what do you expect?" Said, "you can't burn the devil." But now I never did try that no more.
Did y'all get a whooping for
it? We got a stand-in for that. Yeah, I never tried playing no more cards in her house either.
Not till Rook?
Up till Rook, and then we...
Did she play?
No, Mama never did really learn the game of Rook. She never did try with that. But on that fox and geese, so you had... you take corn... and used for the geese, and then the two foxes, you'd take a button or a penny or something like for the eyes or that animal, you know. And as you come out on the board, the best I remember, if you get this, you'd go, and then you had some angles you could go at, and but if you get lines, all of them, at least two on each line that come across, you could frame the fox. But if it cut down to one, he could jump the one, but he couldn't jump two. You
know? Okay.
And, but if you really know how to play it, you could always... end up trapping the fox with the double geese around it. But you had to be a pretty good player to do that on it, you know. But her daddy and them would let them play that fox and geese, you know. But they had so much gambling like that, see, them logging jobs, men would. And,
yeah.
And, Dad didn't allow that at the house, gambling.
Right.
And playing cards. But it went with, they put the other stuff with it, you know, instead of people just get together having a card game. They didn't think you could play it without bringing all that other stuff into it, I reckon.
Yeah. I heard she was, she liked to pull pranks. Did you ever hear her doing that?
Yeah. You know, I'm sure some of them told you about her pulling that known Luther Cage or Billy's Nerd Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging that our pants or underwear or something. They stuffed it and hung it out over our friend. And every which one of my brothers it was walking back with the Luther back to his house.
Mm-hmm.
They told them, and they wasn't supposed to say nothing, you know, when Luther saw it. Then he broke and run, but she then told you that. And she told about when her and one of her sisters, I believe it was Aunt Jessie, they went over to this fellow's house. Him and his wife lived so far from him or something. Anyway, he was real scary of a night. And they went over and had sheets that they took with them, put over them, and scary. And he took after him with his gun. And they was outrunning him, and they come to this ditch that they dug in the field, you know, to drain the water out of the field. Mm-hmm. And they fell down in that ditch, and he jumped on over the thing and kept on it. That's the way they got away from it. They never did try that no more.
No.
But I've your mama tell it, you know.
She never pulled a prank on you or nothing? Or any of her kids?
Little things. I can't remember what they... Yeah, she liked to pull little pranks, you know. But right offhand, I can't think of any of them.
I didn't know this, but I've been hearing that she's like a midwife too. Was she doing that when you were born?
Yeah, she'd go help women bring their babies in. Rob's wife, she was with it's two or three of them kids that she was with Gladys when she'd have her baby. And well, now, my grandmother was a legal
midwife,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Granville just did it to help, but she didn't necessarily, that wasn't her job or nothing?
No, that wasn't her job. I mean, and she didn't charge nobody for doing it, you know that. Now, some of my older brothers, I think my grandmother was able to come up and help her with some of her kids, but...
Well, do they have many doctors around here?
Well, they lived out in, as far out in the country, you know. Mm-hmm. They had those old-timey type doctors out. I remember them talking about one that when Bill and Helen was born, he come by. Week or two later, that little part, let me start that up.
You can start, yeah, you can go ahead, you can go ahead. I'll just say that we had a little interruption in the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, when Bill and Helen born, this doctor, a week or two later, he come back by, and he stopped in to see how mother was doing, and one of my brothers, his wife, had a little girl a couple weeks before, Bill and Helen before, and they stuck it in bed beside those two. And that doctor believed that she'd had another one after he left there. So they didn't know a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
Well, Well, I heard that she did like a lot of home cures and stuff like that. Did you ever hear about how she learned any of those or?
Oh, when people got sick,
mm-hmm.
She had some books that she had had kept, and,
mm-hmm.
and then used to this they put out books. Maybe get one a month or something if you want them.
Okay.
And they would tell a lot of that stuff, how to take, how to do stuff.
Okay.
And she would read them. And,
mm.
and Mother had a good memory anyway.
Yeah. So that was like home cures and stuff. Was that pretty common around this
year?
Yeah. Okay.
It was pretty common. Most of them were out in the country, especially. You
know, right, right.
So they did have a hospital here, Murphy, and they had a doctor serve and said for her to get you up to end up dying, you know.
Was that LT?
Yeah. And she would take another in for a long time.
Why'd they take him up to the doctor?
Well, his stomach got hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
He got vomiting and just had it, and they didn't know what was wrong with him. And they took him to the hospital, and they thought it was appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
So they operated on him. They got in there, and there wasn't nothing wrong with his appendix.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take him on out. But he laid there, I don't know. Best I remember, they didn't even throw him back there.
Really?
And he ended up laying there until he died.
Huh. Were they just trying to figure out what was wrong, or they just...
Well, I don't know what the main problem was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mother never would go back to that hospital with him.
Yeah.
Heal. And, but then Whitfield come with one down there at the bottom, and I think he maybe come out of their house in time or something. And
mm-hmm.
Anyway, they got acquainted with him. And he was a real good doctor. He was an Army doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was honest. Daddy took in a lot of people. Dad and Mother would a lot of times take people, and then they'd pay for it. Couldn't pay for it for him.
Yeah. To the doctor?
Yeah.
Okay. So she gave birth at home and stuff?
Yeah, I was the only one ever born in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Why'd they do that?
They'd moved up here,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't know a doctor then. And they were calling for Snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived over here across that creek, that mountain there, in a shack that built, you know. They were afraid if anything went wrong, you know, they wouldn't be able to get out.
Right.
Yeah, they better just take her own life. And then Daddy come in to see us, and one of the nurses, I believe she was about 18-year-old, or something like that. Anyway, she asked Daddy, said, Mr. Cookson, what are you going to name this one? And he said, that don't matter. Just whatever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
He went on. He was just joking. Mother spoke to all the names.
Yeah.
And anyway, they called me Larry Ben for about 3 months and got some kind of paper back Raleigh, you know, and they sent it off out there. And they called Francis Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than change everything that paperwork and stuff, they just switched the name to Francis Lane
mm-hmm.
instead of Larry B. I was out visiting, run into that old lady here a few years ago.
The nurse?
Huh?
The nurse?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she She was visiting out here in our community, and I stopped to see it. And my old school teachers. And anyway, she asked me if I know who she was. I don't know. She said, I mean, I remember her working in the hospital there, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought she was a nurse. Yeah, she said, I'm the one that gave you your name. Said, I took my name and my boyfriend's name.
Really?
And
was her name Frances?
I don't know which one was. It must have been.
Yeah.
And he had Layman in his name. And they didn't tell mother nothing about it, see. But there's so many of us, name wasn't meaning a whole lot. Yeah.
Remember what time of year it was that she passed away? Your mama?
November the 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like 10 days. Been 30 years from the time daddy died to mother died.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She died on the 13th, mother died on the 3rd, 23. Daddy was just 74, and mother was 87, seemed to be. Day mother died, that was, at that time, that was the hardest thing I'd ever faced, getting up mother. I finally went for it, man. His will recommended nature. And when I come back out of the bathroom, back to, she was in her bed, you know. We've held her on one side of the bed and Arnold on the other side. She was dying when I sucked her back in. We felt like me being greedy and trying to hold on to mama. That maybe caused her to reach her suffering. Lots of pain and all that. Well, I guess I warm you enough.
No, you're not here. I mean, that's all the questions I have. Is there anything else you just want to say about her?
I'm blank on it right now.
You're okay. I mean, you've already told me a lot, so it's okay.
You're a special mommy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thankful that she loved a lot of kids.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been around.
Well, thank you for talking to me.